Before I get started today, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and mind-body coach based out of Los Angeles. You might remember that she guest hosted the podcast back in January of last year. She came on live with me in August of 2021, as well as August of 2022, where we met in person for episode 238 called Stress Talk. Jeannie spent 16 years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a myriad of other chronic symptoms that left her both physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, and now she's obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. In this program, clients learn how to decrease stress, release stuck negative emotions, and finally heal their chronic pain for good. As we start the new year, it may be an important opportunity to reflect on your own TMS journey. Are you happy with the progress that you've had so far? Has the quality of your life deteriorated since this time last year? What will happen in 3 or 6 or even 12 months if nothing changes? Jeannie's one-on-one program will give you the support, consistency, accountability to finally achieve your desired results. It may be time to admit that working alone isn't working. How would it feel to work with someone who will take a stand for your dreams? Jeannie offers free 45-minute consults where you'll identify what's holding you back so you can take on your next steps towards healing. Go to her website, jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, and book your free call to see if it's a good fit. Happy New Year. It's January the 4th. My name is Eddie Lindenstein. Thank you so much for coming back to the podcast. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/ The Minded Fitness Podcast to support the show. Throw a few bucks in the tip jar, as I like to say. Let me give a big shout out to all of the patrons of the show. Again, these are the people that continue to come back week after week and month after month to support the show and help keep it on the air for free. So let me start from all the way back in 2018, so almost 5 years ago, with Barb and Arnie and Brian and Julie, Ross, Christina, Mike, Michael, Tony, Kelly, Irina, Mindy, Jason, John, Sasha, Dominic, Enda, Elise, Paul, Emily, Kirk, Daniel, Deborah, Albert, Julie, and Jeff. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single week and month. It really is a labor of love, and those few extra bucks really help keep this thing available and on the air for everyone. So I hope y'all had a great new year. I think of the last, so I missed last week, a rare missed week for me on the podcast. We did a stay at, what's it called? A staycation. Both kids were out of school, and normally with something like that, we might go travel somewhere. That seemed kind of like a nightmare. We had an ice storm here. We had a snowstorm here. Staycation just sounded so nice. We kind of picked a new activity to do. Every day we went to a movie one day. We traveled about an hour and a half to take the girls to a cat cafe, which was really cool. So you pay for a block of time and then there's 25 or 30 cats that you can visit with and the money goes to the rescue or to the animal shelter. And they can be adopted and played with and all that kind of stuff. So kind of got in our kitty fix from our cat Stella, who disappeared back in June. So that was a nice fun time. Overall, it was a great holiday, completely disconnected, which was just really nice. Deleted the Outlook app, didn't pay any attention to my day job. So it was just really nice. However, I recorded an awesome interview a couple of weeks before Christmas that I wanted to make sure that I shared with everybody. And it's with someone named Kristen. I will tell you, this is most likely, most certainly, 99.9% going to be the only episode that you hear where somebody's TMS symptoms began at Warp Tour. If you don't remember what Warp Tour is, it was in the 90s and the 2000s. It would come here. But Warp Tour was this amazing concert where some of the best heavy metal and rock and roll and rock bands and artists would come and perform. And sometimes it would get really wild. Think like Woodstock, but a little bit more tapered back. Like Woodstock 94 minus... Or sorry, Woodstock 99, minus, if you've seen the Netflix documentary, Woodstock 99 minus 20% or so. So Kristen tells this really amazing story how it began at this Warped Tour and then really cascaded into disability. And we talk about this in detail. And most importantly, what are some of the things that she learned along the way and continue to use and integrate in her daily life that make life better, bring a cessation of symptoms, and honestly just know how to deal with them as they come in the future. What was her body telling her? And that's really the meat and potatoes of this particular conversation. So sit back and enjoy. I think it's about a 40-minute interview or so. Kristen was very gracious in telling her story inside and out. So without further ado, here is Kristen and I. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am here with Kristen, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Kristen, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am here.
So I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago where I had sent out a directive to everybody that was in this Facebook group. Hey, what are some breakthroughs that you had? I kind of wanted to focus on that for kind of like a post-Thanksgiving episode. And your message was striking, and I had actually made a comment at the time that, hey, will you please email me? I'd love to interview you. And then you did, and here you are. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I definitely was nervous about this because I don't think about myself as being like some big success story. But like the more I think about it, I'm like, wow, where I came from is insane compared to where I am now. So yeah, we'll get into all of that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you had said in that comment, you had commented about, where was it in your, you went somewhere on vacation, somewhere in Europe, and you were talking about like 20,000 steps. And that's always what I think about when we went to Europe for 3 weeks a few years ago. And the thing that I always think about is how many steps I took. So it's funny you said that. Yeah. But where did you go?
Yeah, I feel like you can't get around Europe without doing 20,000 steps a day at this point. Like, it's kind of just how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a big trip. We actually did. So we did 3 weeks, and it was through Germany and Austria and Slovenia and Spain. But the one I commented was about Slovenia. It was at Lake Bled there that there's a lot of, like, there's not that much to do there. It's mostly just like seeing things. Like, yeah, there's not like all these museums and stuff. So I did like a hike there that is like nothing I've done in my life. And it was amazing.
That's awesome. What was your favorite? I'm going to guess that it was that, but what was your favorite part of the trip?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things. Just how beautiful it is. Like, I always pull up one of the photos of Lake Bled on my phone and show people when they ask about my trip. But Vienna was the other place that I loved. Okay. Like, that was the place where I felt most comfortable. I was like, I could live here. Yeah. Like, I went to every museum that they had. Like, I got the most out of Vienna that I could. I loved it there.
Travel's so funny because when I'm talking to my wife about like the next place or the next part of the world that I really, really want to go, you would think that it would be places like where you're talking about or mm-hmm. some sort of exotic places or whatever. But to be honest, it's kind of like where you live, that part of the country.
Mm. Interesting.
Like, so let me tell you. So like I went, my parents are both school teachers. And so our summers were typically long road trips because a lot of people, you know, their parents, if they have a vacation, it's like they get a week off from work and then they go back. My parents would usually have 2 or 3 months off of work. Mm. And so, you know, that's, we would take a long road trip. So in 1992, I was 6 years old and we lived in Northern California and we did a road trip all the way out to the Northeast. So I remember mm-hmm. like, or they tell me, I remember waking up in Times Square at like 2 in the mm. morning or something, but I've always thought like, how cool would it be to like fly to Pennsylvania or Massachusetts or DC or whatever, rent a car for 2 or 3 weeks. Because the thing is, like, in my part of the country, in the Pacific Northwest, you're traveling 6 or 7 or 8 hours to get to get in between like cool landmarks. Whereas in your part of the country, a couple of hours and you could be at a whole different type of place and seeing something really yeah. historical. So that's what I mean by that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know that, I used to be an avid concert goer, and that's something I always noticed when people posted their like their tour plans was like there'd be like one show in Seattle, yep. one show in Portland, yep. and it's like over here I would hit like, you know, 3-4 shows, and they would all be within 3 hours of my house,
yep.
like because that's just how it's built over here.
Yeah, yep, yep. Yeah, and you're lucky if an artist does Seattle, you're lucky if they also do Portland. Like
yeah.
most recently, the internet exploded when Taylor Swift put her tickets on sale, and it was kind of like my wife and I filled out the pre-fan registration thing. I did not get picked; she got picked, And then when ticket time came, she didn't even get a chance to purchase. But it was like, we can pick Seattle, or we can pick San Francisco, or we can pick LA. And those are kind of like the only three places that are remotely here. So I always admire your part of the country, because it seems like stuff is so close, especially on a map. It looks really close.
Oh, yeah. No, and no, it is. It actually is.
So the other thing that you were talking about is really kind of this change in life, which we're going to get into in quite a bit of depth in this conversation. But I just kind of want to have a good understanding timeline-wise, when you were kind of in the, if we were to just say like the worst of the worst, with like symptoms or issues or life being really interrupted by chronic pain or chronic issues of some kind, what period of time are we talking about?
Yeah, so it was a pretty long span that I was dealing with any kind of issues. It started back in 2007.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But I would say the worst was towards the end, actually, like, because that's kind of how TMS works, is that it often will build and build and build. Yep. So I was still like a little bit functional back then. You know, I was okay for a little bit. So it was probably more like the, you know, 2014 through like 2019 kind of time period that was the worst for me.
Gotcha. Okay. If you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
I am 31.
31.
So I was 16. Was that the right math? I was 16 when I had all this triggered back in 2007.
Okay. I'm taking notes because I know there's going to be stuff I want to come back to. Okay. So now I call this the Tarantino, but we go all the way back. So 2007, talk about, I mean, did you kind of have like, you know, you were a normal teenager, a normal 16-year-old, and life was pretty normal and all this kind of stuff. And then boom, something happened, or like, kind of take us back there.
Yeah. So at that point, that's what it felt like, is that I was a normal teenager and boom, something happened. So I was actually on your side of the country. I was up at the Gorge in Washington at Warped Tour.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. I don't even know if is that even still a thing? I don't think Warped Tour is.
It is not. It has not been a thing for years, but I was there I would go to multiple venues, but yeah. So my favorite band at the time, their local show was the Gorge one. So that's why I had flown out for that one.
That's awesome. Okay.
So I was front row at their performance, and I got kicked in the head by somebody, which bent me over the like front barrier there. And then I had a crowd surfer thrown on my back, and I felt like a sharp pain go through my upper back. I finished out the day, like everything was like okay. But towards the end of the day, and then like getting home, and I just didn't feel right. And I started, I went to the doctor. I just wanted to get things checked out. I started getting MRIs, and that just really spiraled for literally a decade. Like, they didn't really find anything on the MRI. Yeah. They, just kind of kept sending me around to people. I don't know how far out you want me to go, but it was like, you know, I probably saw like at least 50 different people, in all that time. I saw chiropractors and physical therapists and neurologists and rheumatologists, and got tons and tons of MRIs and x-rays and pain specialists and fibromyalgia clinics and like anyone you can think of. I got to see somebody at Johns Hopkins. We thought that was going to be the answer. So it just kept getting worse from there. Like, I had that upper back thing. It spread into my mid back. It spread into my lower back. It spread into my neck, into my arms, my knees, my ankles. Like, it spread everywhere.
Was there like, you know, you had all this imaging done, you saw these different people. Was there like a prevailing diagnosis, like something that they were all seeing, or were they pretty much in a, you know, a lot of times these doctors and specialists, like, there's no real universal way for them to communicate. And so I feel like you're almost lucky if you can get a consensus. Did you get a consensus at all?
So there wasn't a lot going on. I had what they called a syrinx in my spinal cord, which God knows when that showed up. Like, it could have been there my whole life. A lot of doctors said that it probably didn't mean anything, but it was kind of terrifying when I first got the MRI results back. I remember I was in like a family doctor's office, and he like whipped out like this big medical book to like explain to me what this syrinx was and how they were going to be referring me to neurology. And that was terrifying for me as a teenager. It was kind of like people had different ideas, but pretty much every single person told me, hey, we don't know what's happening. you are going to be passed on to another doctor and you're just going to have to learn how to manage this, was pretty much what everybody told me. I do want to just jump in and mention that I had two people looking back that were on the right track, but didn't quite get me there. I had one doctor, it was a gastroenterologist who I was having a lot of stomach issues, told me it was probably anxiety, but still continued to see me, still continued to do tests, still continued to prescribe me medication. So that didn't quite get me there. And then I had this doctor that I only saw one time, but he told me what I was experiencing was probably similar to like a phantom limb syndrome. Wow. In amputees.
Yeah.
And looking back on that, I'm like, this guy was kind of on the right track, just didn't have like an actual plan for me at that point.
Do you recall what kind of doctor that was, the phantom pain talk?
I don't. Okay. It's been so long. Again, this was back 2007. Yeah. Through, you know, recent. But yeah, I ended up getting a bunch of different diagnoses. I had symptoms of things for a very, very long time. Some even went before my injury, which again now is seeming kind of weird. But the diagnoses I did end up with throughout the years was fibromyalgia, myofascial pain syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, POTS I got diagnosed with, IBS, and then a bunch of mental health things as well that kind of, you know, aren't quite the same, but factor into TMS work and have definitely been significantly reduced with all of this as well.
So I don't have a 16-year-old daughter. I will. Mm-hmm. I'll have two of them at some point. But for the moment, they're 8 and they're 4. I'm curious, mm-hmm. at this time, you know, because it does sound like there was a radical change in you. Do you recall or remember what your parent or guardian, you know, what was kind of their frame of mind when, you know, you go from kind of being a normal kid or a normal teenager to now there's this cascade of issue after issue, doctor after doctor?
I mean, they were in the same boat as me, where they didn't know what was going on. I mean, they believed me that all these things were happening, and we kind of just kept trying. And I would go through periods where, you know, every, like, I would go like 6 months where I'm like, I'm done. I'm just going to live. And I'd be like, you know what? I actually should probably continue getting things checked out. Yeah. My parents were great with it. They were like accommodating with all the things. Like, we started, this is all going to get into current day, but they started, you know, helping me with things that I no longer could do. Again, it was much later in the process that all this stuff started happening, but like, I could not, you know, get things out of cabinets. My parents would start leaving plates after they were washed in the drain instead of up in the cabinet because I couldn't reach up and take a plate out of the cabinet.
Yeah.
They, you know, I got a shower chair for the shower because I was like, I felt like I was going to pass out every time I was in there because of the, you know, the POTS diagnosis. So I don't really have like too much of an insight as to what they were thinking, but like, you know, they were kind of just along for the ride with me and trying to, you know, be supportive of everything.
Had you as like a teen? So one thing I've talked about it with like athletes that have come on and done some kind of an interview that I talk about, almost like, what's the best way to explain this? Like injuries or bodily issues. And when I say bodily issues, that could range from gastro issues to shoulders hurting. But like people that tend to be athletic or tend to have, I don't know, they're very physical. They almost know too much about their body. And so I feel like these messages of pain become so amplified. Did you like, you know, prior to this happening, like, did you do sports or were you athletic or like, was there any, or was it, you know, were you into other kind of things? I'm just trying to get a sense of like, did you have an injured past of some kind or anything like that prior, you know, just like normal injury stuff that teenagers or that kids get too.
Yeah, I was not an athlete. I, you know, this is kind of like skewing from your question there, but I had a lot of things that looking back now, I found some of my documentation from when I was a kid and it's just all screaming TMS. Like people talk about this stuff as adults, but it's like, I had this stuff my entire life. Like I had, I found an old document from a doctor when I was a kid and it was like, yeah, she said that she was running around like trick-or-treating and like, I don't know, maybe like kind of stepped in a slight hole or something, like twisted the ankle slightly. And like, it's been like this for months. And that's why she's here. Yeah. Seeing a doctor. Like I have stuff like that dating back my entire life. I was a very, very anxious person my entire life. So yeah, I don't have what you're talking about at all, but I do have like this kind of stuff, like TMS stuff dating back my whole life.
I'm taking a note on that because I'm going to come back to it. so we're in 2007. The Warped Tour happens. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this, I mean, for lack of a better term, like a trigger. But earlier when I'd asked about like, when did all this stuff get really bad? And you talked about 2014 to 2019. What was going on in this gap between 07 and 14?
I was still doing my best to continue living. I mean, I was in high school through 2009. I was okay. I like missed a little bit of school. I was in pain. I did a semester of college in the fall of 2009, and I ended up dropping out because I was still kind of functional, but I was like, I had signed up to do a 6-year program, and there's no way this is going to happen with how my body's reacting to things. So I dropped out of that school. The next spring, I went to a new school that I was going to start a new major. I went there for a semester, got through it. Things were getting worse. Then I went back in the fall. I lasted one day before I came home sobbing and was like, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
And dropped out again and was like put on like a leave of absence that just never, never happened again. And I kind of was getting into what turned out to be most of my life through that period, which was I would kind of let myself do some things. It was mostly doing nothing. It was mostly being in my house. I would just like cry on the floor a lot of days. But sometimes it's like, well, there is this thing I really want to do. There is this vacation I really want to go on. There is this concert I really want to go to. And I would do it. And I would struggle. I would suffer. And then I would come home and it would be a week of recovery. And that's pretty much what my entire life was at that point.
So very small. It's kind of what you're
talking
very
about. Small,
very
yeah.
small. What did you find in 2019 that kind of changed the trajectory?
Yeah, so that's actually kind of a wild story because, you know, again, I saw over 50 doctors probably in my lifetime, tried every medication, every injection anybody would give me, any like literally anything I was willing to try. So I don't even know how I ended up on this app, but there's an app called Meetup. I never met up with anybody. I never used it for any kind of events, but I would just scroll around it sometimes. And there was somebody who posted on there saying like, hey, did you have an injury that never healed? Do you have, and it was like basically explaining the basis of Sarno's work.
Yeah.
And he was like, I have an answer for you. I was halfway through this book and my pain was gone. And I was like, oh, uh-huh. Okay. And got rid of it. And then like a week later, I was like, let me go find that post again. Like,
yeah.
It's a book. Like a book is not going to, like how much money has been spent? How much time has been spent? I might as well get this book. At that point, I actually loved reading, but was so brain foggy and a mess that I was like, I need to find the audiobook of this.
Yep.
So I listened to the Healing Back Pain, John Sarno book in, I believe it was April. It was April or May of 2019, and that was the beginning of the end for all of this for me.
So that's awesome. I love that you did the audio one too. Mostly because it's the only one of Sarno's books where he actually does the narration for it, and I think mm-hmm. that's almost pretty critical because, like, yes, you went, and you saw these 50 doctors, but to me, there's something about his voice that's just very. I'm not saying that like doctors kind of have a tone of being unsure, but mm-hmm. It is kind of ambiguous. Like physical medicine is very tough in general. But he is very sure in his tone. And I think that works wonders for a lot of people. So what in there started catching your eye, as you were reading it or listening to it?
It was literally everything. Like it was crazy. Like I have people, when I post in these groups and stuff, I have people asking, how did you get past the belief part? How did you get past the fear part? Like, I was reading this book and I was like, this is it. Like, this is me. Every page, this is me. Like, it explained everything. There's some things that I feel like in Sarno's work that's a little bit dated now. Like, I don't know that I necessarily subscribe to every single word that he believed back when he first like wrote this book and started the research. But like, I was like, this is it. Like,
yeah.
I knew that was it. I saw myself everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Are there any like particular examples of, and what I mean by this is like what personality traits resonated with you the most, as he was talking through it, because some resonate with others quite a bit more. you know, some people really see themselves as the, like the goodest personality that he talks about, or people mm-hmm. that can't seem to not make, or people that can't live with the fact that they could possibly make a mistake. And so they're do good or they're perfectionists. But then other people, it's like very spiritual or religious. And then for other, like, there's just a lot of different kind of categories that people could be put in. Were there any in particular that really jumped out at you as yes, this is definitely part of my personality?
Yeah. I mean, I'm absolutely a perfectionist and a people pleaser. Like, I go out of my way to avoid confrontation with anybody. I can literally, like, this is like a fun, I mean, it's not fun because it's awful, but I had like this really, really hard night at a job that I was doing. And I felt bad at the end of the night. I was like, I missed that phone so many times. I had one of the managers come out and he was like, "You guys killed it tonight. I would want nobody else than you and my coworker to have been at the front of the house at that job that night, because we were the only ones that he had worked with that could have handled that job." And I was like, but those phone calls I missed, like that's who I am, is that like I missed picking up the phone three times because I was so busy that's all I could focus on.
So someone, like, someone's giving you the flowers and you can't even be there to smell the roses, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's how I've always been, is like, I just started a new job and you know, I was 2 weeks into this job and my coworker was like, the one who was training me was like, "You, like 99.9% of everything you did has been perfect." And I'm sitting there going, but what about that 0.1%? Like, that's what I'm focused on. And I still have that. And I am still working on that. But like, that is so clearly an issue when it comes to this TMS stuff, you know?
So you're reading the book and you're getting all these types of insights, you know, this is it. Then mm-hmm. what are you doing after that? Is it literally just the insight itself solve the problem, or did you do any sort of, you know, because in his first couple of books there wasn't any talk about journaling or exercises or things like that to do. Mm-hmm. But then as the books went on, he started having things for people to do. So what did your process look like?
Yeah, my stuff was very very mild, what I was doing, I feel like, compared to what people do now. I was all in immediately. So I had chiropractic and massage appointments scheduled for that week. I literally went in and was like, I'm never coming back. I broke up with both of them on the spot the next, it was like that week. The chiropractor I had been seeing for like 8 years at least. And I was just like, hey, I found something. I'm not coming back to you. And I also just started like doing things. Like, my mom always would call the T-Rex arms, is how I would operate with my body, that like I was too scared to move my back in a certain way, so I like used like little arms to reach things. I just started grabbing things, and I would, like, you know, this is nothing crazy, this is not like, you know, I'm going out and like lifting weights. I just started like acting like a normal human would in basic day-to-day activities, and I kept waking up the next morning and I was still in all of my pain, but I wasn't in excessive pain. I wasn't in more pain from all of these activities I had done that I restricted myself from doing for so many years. And I was like, this means something.
And I,
you know, and then
I would bet that you probably didn't have that sense of worry that you probably had every time that you'd woken up for years prior, right?
Yeah. I literally felt like I was like superhuman. Like, it's crazy because it's like, oh, my arms are just stretching above my head, but it's like I wasn't stretching my arms above my head for, you know, 6-7 years at that point. Like, yeah. I just wasn't doing it. I wasn't reaching like that. I literally felt so light, and I was still in all this pain. It's not like I wasn't the book here. I wasn't suddenly in no pain, but like there was this lightness to my body that I was like, this is it. Like, I'm on the right path.
It's really, you're putting it like a really amazing way. So I recorded, so there's a podcast, as we're recording this, there's a podcast that aired today, and I had recorded it yesterday, and it largely stemmed from an email that I got from someone where they were talking about their, as you quoted, actually, they're all in, they're bought into this concept, they understand it, they think that it's for them, all this kind of stuff, but that they're having resistance, or that they're feeling like they can't go and do certain activities or certain things. Like, there's still just kind of this, like reluctance to actually really go all in, but they said they were all in. And so that's what a lot of it was about. So I'm very happy to hear that you just continued moving forward and continued doing your thing. What was the reaction of people that were around you that saw kind of the worst of it from 2014 to 2019, where now like your attitude's totally different. You're out and doing things that you weren't capable or wanting to do or willing to do before.
Yeah, I mean, it was really only my parents at that point. I literally only have one friend left from before all of this because, you know, you can't really keep friends for a decade when you're never seeing them, you know? So it was mostly just my parents. And I immediately told them about what I was doing. And they were like, great, do whatever you need to do. And yeah, they kind of just like, and they took it easy with me because again, I wasn't jumping in. I know people are like, oh, hey, I used to run 5 miles. Should I start doing that on day one? It's like, probably not. but like, you know, they were like working with me on it and, you know, kind of jumping in a different direction here, but like both of my parents have also, just because they witnessed me at my absolute worst, they've both benefited from this work as well. They've both had issues with like knees and stuff, and they have had a lot of success with this work as well. There's very few people around me, like everybody else says, oh, well, my pain is real. But my parents, having witnessed everything I went through, like they've benefited from this as well. So that's pretty cool too.
What sort of insights have you, and if you're not following my question, totally let me know. Cause it's not formulated how I would want it to be, but, you've come out of this, it's a few years removed now at this point. How do you see the world differently or things that happen to you differently or situations and how you react to them or think about them? Like, does that make any sense at all? That might be different now than it was a few, because there was some kind of an insight gained that flipped a switch for you. I mean, a lot of people think that cures like this come from having a sudden and dramatic surgery or something like that. Mm-hmm. In this case, you read a book that had a concept that gave you an insight that turned your volume way down. And so is there a difference of handling are situations handled differently by you now? Or I guess like, how is life different just in the way that you react to it at this point versus if you and I had the same conversation, say 4 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still constantly learning. Like over time, over these, you know, 3 years or so, I've learned so much more about myself, about this work. Even though I did recover fairly quickly, I'm still making progress and I do see things differently. I'm always trying to just I don't know if I think this is pretty common. But when I say that I have recovered from TMS, that doesn't mean I don't ever have pain.
Yeah.
I know people are always chasing that like 1% where they're like, I'm 99% healed, but like they're always chasing that 1%. I just don't think about it like that. I might be on a treadmill and I get this like sharp pain in my shin and I'm like, well, I didn't do anything. And I just keep going and it goes away within like 30 seconds at that point.
That's
but
awesome.
Like, I have all these things where I do have little things pop up. Like I do still have stressors. I still have perfectionism. Like I'm still going to have all these things come up, but I just have learned how to cope with them and they don't stick around at that point. That's something I never knew was possible. You know, one of my crazy insights was I had a lot of ankle issues as a kid. I do think some of them were legitimate because I did break my ankle and I had a torn ligament and that got surgically repaired. But there's like the, you know, people say, oh, the weather affects your surgery spot. And like, so I had all this swelling, I had all this pain. I don't have that anymore. I am now forgetting what I was going to talk about.
You were talking about an ankle and the weather. Does that help at all?
Shit, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Do you edit this?
I do, but I actually kind of like the nuance of, you know, it happens to everybody. It'll come to you probably about 2 a.m. and you'll get up to get a drink of water or something and then you'll remember it, but that's okay.
I remember. Okay. So my ankles were often targeted like all the time. Like that was like a big spot is my feet. So you're on your feet all day. Like I'm walking, like especially now when I started working and stuff, I'm on my feet all day. One of the biggest things that happened to me was I was getting ready to go to bed and I had this horrible pain in my right ankle. And I was still early in this. So I kind of was like talking to it and I was like, yo, I know I didn't do anything to you. Like relax. Like it's basically what I was saying. I go to bed, I wake up the next morning, that same pain is in my left ankle.
Yeah.
And I literally laughed because that's what this does. And I feel like these are the things you can do when you have this knowledge. Like, that pain could have lasted for months years ago. Like, in my old brain, that's how it would have happened.
Yeah.
Is that I would have had that pain for a very long time. But like now with like my, I know that people talk about like rewiring your brain, but that's genuinely what this feels like. Is I have different thought patterns. I think about everything differently. My anxiety, like I think about all of these things differently. I think it's more that I don't think about them is the big part, like that I think is super important, at least for me.
It sounds like earlier in the conversation you talked about, almost like a feeling of like invincibility, and that's how it kind of sounds like what you're describing right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's not quite the same as it was at the beginning, cause that was like this brand new, you know, these brand new movements I hadn't done for such a long time, but that is how I feel. I mean, we haven't gotten into, you know, present day, but, it kind of goes along with your podcast theme that like, I've gotten really into lifting weights, and it's like, I couldn't lift a half gallon of milk out of the fridge. I couldn't grab a plate out of the cabinet. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. Let me throw like 110 pounds on this bar and see if I can pick it up. Like, that's what I'm doing now. And it's like, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot to somebody who, you know, lifts a lot of weights, but like, I still don't even know what I'm doing. And I'm just like, I just feel like I can do whatever I want. I know my body is strong. I know I'm not going to hurt it. And if I do, it's probably, you know, going to be obvious to me. But yeah, I do think there is a little bit of invincibility with this.
I'd be curious to get your take. You had talked about a little bit earlier. I forgot. I think you were talking about how when you were younger, like younger than 16, that there, like you had talked about, you know, looking back, that there were TMSC issues that occurred before 2016, or sorry, before 2007. Mm-hmm. And I think you had mentioned, were there like mental health challenges prior as well? Did you say that, or did I just make that up?
I mean, I said that I've always been very anxious. Like, I have had a significant level of anxiety. Even as a child, I had a lot of OCD tendencies as child. You know, checking my bedroom, like, again, as a child, like, I was always afraid that somebody was going to break into my house and come kill me. Like, these are like weird anxieties, but like that weighing on a small child's brain is like a lot.
Has your thought on that stuff changed at all in the way that, you know, some of the physical stuff has evolved in thought over time since you've kind of had this shift in perspective over the last 3 years? Like, how has that changed?
Yeah, that was kind of a secondary thing. Like, I feel like these things kind of happened in phases where all of my physical stuff kind of dissipated. And then, you know, I didn't know everything. I read Healing Back Pain. That was it. Like, he doesn't cover everything in Healing Back Pain. He didn't cover all of my diagnoses in Healing Back Pain. So while I was working on my pain, I like had all these other things disappear, like the POTS and the IBS that I like almost didn't notice. And then after all of that stuff was gone and I started like living a normal life, I started reading more about mental health issues. And I got to the point where I don't know when it was at this point, but it was over a year ago. I saw my doctor and was like, hey, I think I can handle all of these things. Can you help me taper off my medications? So I was on two different medications for anxiety / OCD, and I tapered off of them a while back, and I am doing better now.
That's
like
amazing.
That got triggered by having somebody post in one of those groups like that they were on pain meds and their pain didn't go away fully until they went off of their pain meds. I'm sure that's not the case for everybody, but that had this weird effect on me. Actually, backtracking slightly, I was having a lot of like restless leg syndrome kind of symptoms. And I was like, what if I stop taking magnesium? Because you know how everybody just tells you to take magnesium.
Yeah.
I was like, what if I focus not on that and focus on this as a TMS thing? It got worse for like 3 weeks. And then I haven't had it since.
Wow.
After going off, I take no magnesium anymore. And the same thing kind of happened with my anxiety. Is I was having tons of panic attacks. Like every day at work, I'd have a panic attack. I'd need to like step out and kind of compose myself. And I got to the point where I was like, I think it would be better if I stopped relying on these medications. And again, I'm not recommending anybody do anything without, you know, doctor supervision, but, just my personal experience was I started tapering off of things, and then, things were, you know, okay, but pretty even. So that made me feel good, actually, because if I was taking all these medications and I felt the same without them, that meant that they probably weren't doing that much. And it was probably more of a, you know, in my brain kind of thing. And then since then, I very little struggle with these panic attacks I was having daily. Things have gotten a lot better on that anxiety front. I still definitely have anxieties that are probably beyond, you know, super, super mentally healthy people. But it is so much better than it ever was my entire life.
Yeah, it makes me think that something that I've always find, because I sort of dance around the topic of like stress or anxiety or depression or like, you know, mental health issues, especially ones that people have been medicated for. I try to kind of dance around that. That's not my level of pseudo expertise. I just don't know enough about
right.
it. But, right. one thing that I have found very fascinating is that Dr. Howard Schubiner, who is a board certified, you know, he is an expert in this. He has his first two books, were Unlearn Your Pain, which is largely about the chronic pain issues that we spent the early part of this conversation talking about. But then a little later, he came out with Unlearn Your Anxiety and Your Depression, which is kind of what we've just been talking about. The content is different, but the methods to which he, like the homework that he gives and the program that he has in there are exactly the same, regardless of whether you're talking about a back or an ankle or a knee, or you're talking about crippling anxiety and depression, which really aligns with the story that you've told.
Yeah, I feel like they're all interchangeable, honestly. Like, that's the conclusion I've come to.
Yeah, and I had somebody a couple of years ago that I've interviewed her a couple of times out of Thunder Bay, Ontario, which I don't think is too far from you, at least you're part of the country. But she had said that, like, the Sarna stuff worked for her, but then she went through this really awful tragedy. She had gotten married. Her husband died, I think, less than a week after the wedding, and all of her symptoms and everything came just storming back. And the thing that Sarna wasn't clicking for her the way that it was years prior when she went through and read the book. So she found this other book that was written very similar to how Sarna writes about back pain and healing back pain. But the guy's writing entirely about anxiety. And she said when she wrote it or when she read it, she would replace the word anxiety with back pain the entire book, and that was what helped her alleviate all of her symptoms. So there are people that are interchanging it just the way that you've described too. I want to kind of wrap up here and just hear about like Kristen present day, and how, and we kind of touched a little bit about, on this earlier. So maybe this is sort of the opportunity for you to put a bow on this, but, what are, you know, how are you different today than you were years ago? Or before you would gain kind of this understanding, what's with you fundamentally different as a person now today as we wrap up the interview that comes to mind?
Yeah, it's crazy, honestly, to think about. Like, we talked about a lot of it, so I don't need to rehash that part about just, you know, my daily life in my house of not like picking things up, not reaching for things. But I think connecting this back a little bit to how we first got introduced with the like vacation thing, that is such a wild story to think about. Is that so? Back in 2019, it was right after I had read Healing Back Pain, but wasn't feeling well. I went to Florida with my mom. We planned this vacation by having a wheelchair taking me from gate to gate. We planned down days in between everything we were doing because I needed recovery time. We researched like every museum we were going to so that I could have a wheelchair accessible for me to get around. And then, you know, I would get home and it would be like an entire week of basically just like sleeping and trying to recover from this. And then you jump forward to 2022. It was almost exactly 3 years later. I went to Europe. I traveled around like six different countries. I was walking endlessly. I was climbing, you know, 45 degree, hikes in muddy grounds that I've never done in my life. We got to the one hotel that had a gym and I was like, hey, I know we already walked 20,000 steps, but like, I think I also want to just like go lift some weights. Like, this is nothing that I could have ever imagined in my entire life because every single person I ever encountered told me I was going to be like this for the rest of my life. And I never planned for anything like this. So that's just like one direct comparison of 3 years apart. But just like daily stuff, I'm working out a lot. I love lifting weights. It's something I never could do, or I guess I could, but I didn't know I could do.
Yeah.
I started working. I had never had a job because I was in so much pain back when I was 16. You know, I was just trying to finish high school. So I had never had a job. And then it was April or May that I read the book. And then by like September, I was volunteering somewhere just to see if I could get around. By October, I got my first job, and it was a host at a restaurant. It was on my feet all day. It was running around. It was high stress. I'm still moving around in different jobs. I actually just changed jobs a couple weeks ago. And that's more what my life looks like now.
That's awesome. What a great story. Well, thanks for coming here and being on the podcast. I love stories like that. I think that sort of the underscored thing that I have grasped in talking to you for the last 41 minutes is really just like this. And I, again, the podcast I recorded yesterday was like perfect timing. I actually wish maybe I would have talked to you before I recorded that one. But it's this level of sureness and confidence. One of the things that I tell people, or that I've talked about on the show before, is that, and it's sort of stealing a little bit from Nicole Sachs, who says that she has a cure for chronic pain, but not a cure for human pain. And it's like what you talked about earlier, like you may get aches and pains. It doesn't mean that that things like that don't happen, but they don't stick around because you have this level of indifference and confidence behind it. And one of the things that I like to preach loudly is that, like, that is the cure. Once you get to that point, like that's when it's done. It doesn't have to be that you never wake up in pain ever again the rest of your life, because that's not going to happen. But the place that you're at is the place that lots of people aspire to be, and you did it very easily.
Yeah. And I feel like we never mentioned the word fear, and I kind of want to throw that in. It kind of goes with all that, like invincibility that we were talking about, but that was like how I started, was between the belief and the like cutting off all of my, you know, physical solutions. But cutting out that fear was like the number one thing. I know that that's exactly what we're talking about with the invincibility and stuff, but that is like what it all comes down to, is don't wake up and be like, oh my God, what happened to my body? It's like, oh, I know what this is. It's fine. And just move on. Like, that is, reduction in fear was like my absolute key for this.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks again for being here. Kristen, have a great rest of 2022.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Take care.
Bye.